But before I get to the message today, I do need to share with you that a while back, I met with the vestry. And I asked the vestry to come up with a wish list. A wish list of what we'd like to see done in this building. And the vestry came together with one mind. And then we charged our junior warden, Jay Vickers, to take that wish list. And we suggested a group of people that should be on a committee and come up with their wish list. And they did. And you know who you are. And you prioritized. And then the next part of it was, okay, how do we pay for it? And you did that too. You sought out people, and people came forward to make this happen. We had workmen come and bless us with their talents, with their gifts. We had a man who you will meet on April 15th, who was responsible for building this altar. And I must tell you that this altar is a replica of an altar that was in St. Andrew's Episcopal Church when it burned. And it was rescued. And it's been, and it is, still in Rowan's house. And God spoke to Rowan. And I don't want to make this about any one person, but he had Derek Dillingham come measure and build this altar. And there's a story behind it. In the front panel, you'll see little triangles. There are 13 triangles. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you how many apostles there were. And I told you to remember that there are 13 apostles. Yes, Judas got out of there. They replaced him with Matthias, and then Paul came along. 13 apostles and 13 apostles, 13 triangles on this altar. What a blessing. Well, wait, there's more. Then the same wood Rowan gave to Steve Williams. And Steve, with the committee, came up with an idea to get rid of the circle, the moon, and to build this. And Steve built this altar rail. His design. And very shortly, there'll be kneeling pads here today. When you come forward to communion, if you want to kneel, yes, you can, but it's not soft and cushy. But hopefully very soon we'll have those cushions here. We're not done yet. The old reredos is there. That's that back wall thing. That came probably from the old wooden church. But it had been, and it's been here since the beginning. Well, Derek is now working to build a new reredos that will match our altar. And you will see that it is a fitting matching piece. God has been working in and through some very wonderful people who have given of themselves in time, talent, and treasure. And it's a debt we cannot repay. But God blesses in so many ways. I'm sorry, I had to just say that. And I think that God has blessed each person here today, that we are here because of your wish lists of wanting to see St. Andrew's get rid of the cement on the floor, get rid of the plywood and the rotting wood, and have a beautiful red oak floor matching wood from 1938 with wood from today. And you cannot tell the difference. It is amazing. Well, today we celebrate, as we came in from the parish hall, to celebrate and recall the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ in the city of Jerusalem. And he was riding on the back of the colt of a donkey. The people treated Jesus like the king that he really is. And they laid down cloaks in the road instead of carpet, along with branches of palms, paved the way for his coming into the holy city. The Gospel of Matthew described it this way. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Seeing Jesus exalted in such a way really disturbed the temple leadership. And Matthew said this, "But when the chief priests and the lead teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. To put it simply, they just about had had enough of this Galilean getting so much attention. He was going to have to die. And so as we recall Jesus' entry this morning with our procession, honoring that event that took place in the first century, we now begin what is called Holy Week. Culminates with the Last Supper, a Passover Seder meal, his arrest, the mockery of a trial, his torture, having his flesh ripped off his back with 39 lashes, horrific lashes, his head being crowned with thorns, Jesus being ridiculed by the guards who drew lots for his garments, and then his having to carry his cross on an uphill climb to Golgotha, where he would be nailed to it. And then Jesus finally forgiving those who did all of this to him. An innocent man was put to death, the most painful death, less than a week after being given a king's entrance into that very same city that now demanded his death. Later this week, we'll look more closely at the events that I just listed, with the Stations of the Cross on Wednesday night here in the church at 7 p.m., on Thursday night at 6 o'clock in the parish hall, a Seder meal reminiscent of what took place in the upper room that Maundy Thursday. That's at 6 o'clock, and we will do all of the things that the Jewish people do during a Seder meal, and then we'll at 7:30 we'll come in here for Holy Communion, the second half of the Holy Communion service, and then something that I think is going to be amazing for all of us this year, the stripping of the altar, depicting Jesus' arrest into captivity. And then on Good Friday at noon, we'll honor his crucifixion and death with a solemn service. A few moments ago, we recalled the Passion through the Holy Gospel according to Mark. But today I'd like to concentrate on that ride into the city of Jerusalem that marks the beginning of Holy Week. Jesus rode down the Mount of Olives, which is directly across to the east of the city of Jerusalem, and come across the Kidron Valley into Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey, a colt, in fulfillment of the words of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. Listen to this. Your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. God had a plan from the very beginning, and these prophecies come to fruition and can only be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The people that day did something astonishing. Because if you've ever been to the Holy Land, it's a dry, dusty, stony area. And the people of that day, they didn't just spread their cloaks on the road for a friend or even a well-respected elder family member. They did it only for royalty. You don't cut off branches from palm trees to wave out in the street for a celebration. But instead, this was reserved for the arrival of and the welcoming of a king. 200 years before the event of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Judas Maccabeus defeated the evil Seleucid king Antiochus Epiphanes, and he entered Jerusalem, cleansed the temple of the unholy pagan desecration by that king. Many people know that to the Jews, pigs are considered unclean. Well, Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig on God's holy altar. So he desecrated it. And so when he entered Jerusalem, the people waved palm branches. And now 200 years later, here's Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, triumphantly entering Jerusalem, to hosannas, to celebration, to joy, to the delight of the people, to the cries of Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The cheerful chanting of the people begins and ends with words that bring to mind Psalm 118, verses 24 to 26, which says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you." And the people do indeed chant part of this psalm, but they also add something to it that was a very dangerous prayer right in the middle of their chant. And trust me, the temple leadership heard this. They say, "Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." They're not only treating Jesus like a king, but they're making a connection of Jesus directly to the line of Israel's King David. Jesus had come to the holy city of God, the place called the city of David, and they treated him like a king. But they're not ready for this kind of king. They were expecting a deliverer, a warrior, a conqueror, somebody who was going to beat down the Romans. And they weren't expecting a shepherd instead. And they certainly weren't expecting the events of the coming week, when this king would radically redefine his kingship and royalty, a model for royalty that neither Israel nor the rest of the world were used to or ready for. The people, with all their chanting, were bestowing kingship in the line of the house of David. And in less than 6 days, they would crown him. But it wasn't a crown of gold. It's a crown of thorns. I pray that you'll join me this week as we honor King Jesus here at St. Andrew's. There's an insert in your bulletin. It's a tan bulletin insert, and it's in large print, so you can't miss it, with all the information and the times of our Holy Week services. The Coffee County Ministerial Association also has a luncheon each and every day. 27 years it's been doing it, and Pastor Sam DeCasper was instrumental in starting that because of his passion for Holy Week. Monday through Friday from 11:45 until 1 o'clock. And each day a different pastor will preach on one of the sorrowful mysteries. On Monday, a dear friend, Pastor Matt Rutland, will be preaching on the agony in the garden. On Tuesday, I have the honor of preaching about the scourging of the pillar. And St. Andrew's Anglican Church is teaming up with the First Congregational Christian Church to provide lunch for that day. If you can be there, please do. If you can help, please speak with Holly. We certainly can use all the volunteers we can get. Wednesday, Pastor Twana Bennett will be preaching on the crown of thorns, crowning of thorns. On Thursday, Pastor Sam DeCasper, one of our members here, will be preaching on the carrying of the cross. And on Friday, our good neighbor, Pastor Shep Johnson from First Baptist Church, will be preaching on the crucifixion. I have to tell you, I won't be there for Friday. I'll be in here at noon, and I pray that many of you will come and join us. On Friday, we're going to do something that has probably never been done. We'll take an offering during our solemn service, and it's not for St. Andrew's. That, whatever is taken in, whether it's a dollar or $5 or $100, is going to be sent to Christ Church in Jerusalem, the oldest Protestant church in the Holy Land, to continue their ministry to Christians and Jews. I want to invite you to honor what Jesus did for you by attending whatever your schedule will allow you to come to. Our brothers and sisters, the King is coming. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.